This case involves a conspiracy.
That's what the Hong Kong government says happened as they shut a news organization down. It's Friday, June 18th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, mixed feelings on Australia's relationship with China, a growing threat of domestic terrorism in the United States, opposition against proposed big spending increases by the Pakistan government, a planned movie about a gunman slaughter of Muslim worshippers in Christchurch feels very soon and very raw for New Zealand's leader. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong police raided the offices of a pro-democracy newspaper, Apple Daily, on Thursday and arrested five executives, including its chief editor. The raid and arrest were conducted under the nearly one-year-old national security law imposed on the semi-autonomous city by Beijing last year. Police said five executives of a company were arrested on suspicion of collusion with a foreign country or with external elements to endanger national security. Apple Daily said its chief editor, Ryan Law, and four other executives with the newspaper and its parent company, Next Digital, were arrested. More than 200 police officers took part in Thursday's raid on Apple Daily's offices. Streaming video posted on the newspaper's Facebook page showed officers cordoning off the building and walking through the newsroom. Police said the warrant authorizing the raid was aimed at gathering evidence of violating the national security law. Hong Kong Security Minister John Lee told reporters afterward that the raid was aimed at those using journalism as a tool to endanger national security.
This case involves a conspiracy. We are talking a conspiracy in which there are a series of acts. The police have already informed the media that one of the acts involved publication at Apple Daily and also online news regarding articles that invite foreign countries, external elements, to impose sanctions or take hostile activities against Hong Kong and the PRC. This is the conspiracy. We are not talking about media work or journalist work. We are talking about a conspiracy in which the suspects try to make use of journalistic work to collude with a foreign country or external elements to impose sanction or take hostile activities against Hong Kong and PRC.
Stephen Butler, the Asia Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists, said the raid and corresponding arrest of the five executives destroy any remaining fiction that Hong Kong supports freedom of the press. Butler added that China's actions to eliminate the paper will come at a steep price to be paid by the people of Hong Kong, who had enjoyed decades of free access to information. This is the second time Apple Daily's headquarters have been raided by police since the new law took effect. A raid last August came just hours after Jimmy Lai, Next Digital's founder and owner, was arrested at his house on suspicion of foreign collusion. Trading in Next Digital shares on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange was suspended Thursday after the raid. The 73-year-old Lai is currently serving a 14-month prison sentence for taking part in separate unauthorized assemblies in 2019. His assets at Next Digital were frozen by the government last month. The national security law was imposed by Beijing in response to the violent anti-government protest in 2019. Anyone believed to be carrying out terrorism, separatism, subversion of state power, or collusion with foreign forces could be tried and face life in prison if convicted under that law. VOA Asia continues. Australians express deep mistrust of China's government but want their own government to build better relations with Beijing, according to a new survey. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The study by the University of Technology Sydney, or UTS, was compiled this year amid rising trade and security tensions between Australia and its biggest trading partner, China. The authors have said it's the most comprehensive survey of public opinion on the Australia-China relationship to date. They note that the political relationship has been enduring significant difficulties since 2017. The results highlighted the complex nature of bilateral ties. 61% of Australians want a stronger relationship with China, yet an overwhelming majority, more than three-quarters, expressed mistrust of the Chinese government. A majority of respondents, more than 60%, said their opinion on China has become more negative following the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Elena Collinson is a senior researcher at the UTS.
While Australians are clearly significantly concerned about both the downward spiral in relations and China's assertiveness, they're not yet willing to give up on the relationship entirely. And to that point, Australians have refrained from putting the onus on one side to better relations, with an emphatic majority, 80% of the public, saying they believe that the responsibility for improving the current frostiness lies with both the Australian and Chinese governments.
Relations between Australia and China have been affected by a range of political, trade and foreign policy disputes. Beijing's military expansion in the South China Sea and the treatment of pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong are two sources of disagreement. Allegations of cyber espionage and interference in Australia's domestic affairs have also caused friction, as did Australia's decision to ban the Chinese tech giant Huawei from its 5G network. Last year, Australia called for a global inquiry into the origins of the new coronavirus, which was first detected in China in late 2019. This caused immense damage to the relationship, since Beijing interpreted Australia's demand as criticism of its handling of the pandemic. 72% of respondents to the UTS poll agreed with the statement that the Australian government was right to publicly call for an international investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Beijing responded to mounting diplomatic friction with a range of tariffs on some Australian farm exports and coal. Officials have accused Australia in the past of peddling anti-China hysteria. The UTS survey sampled the views of 2,000 Australians in March and April. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
China has launched a three-man crew to its new space station in its first manned mission in 5 years. AP correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
Blasting off into bright blue skies with near-perfect visibility, the rocket headed into space from the Zhuquan Launch Center in northwestern China, on the edge of the Gobi Desert. The three astronauts traveling in the Shenzhou 12 spaceship docked with China's new Tianhe space station about 6 hours after takeoff. The two veteran astronauts and a newcomer making his first space flight will stay in the main living compartment of the core module for 3 months. The mission marks a milestone in the country's ambitious space program. I'm Karen Chamas.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. The United States faces a growing threat from domestic violent extremists, according to a strategy released this week by the Biden administration. The warning comes as U.S. lawmakers continue to investigate the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of former President Donald Trump seeking to derail the Electoral College vote count, confirming Biden's presidential victory. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has the story.
5 months after the U.S. Capitol attack, the Biden administration laid out a strategy for countering the threat posed by domestic extremism. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Garland says that no one in the United States will be prosecuted for their nonviolent political beliefs.
There is no place for violence as a means of resolving political differences in our democracy. The long-term issues that contributed to domestic terrorism in America must be addressed to ensure that this threat diminishes over generations to come. To defuse the underlying causes of domestic terrorist attacks,
the January 6th assault has resulted in more than 500 arrests. Democrats say the rioters were motivated by former President Trump's false claims of election fraud. Democratic Representative Carolyn Maloney.
After his efforts to pressure the Department of Justice failed, President Trump grew even more desperate. And so, on the morning of January 6th, he sent an angry, violent mob to the Capitol. The goal was to use violence to stop Congress from certifying that Joe Biden won the election.
The head of the FBI acknowledged to lawmakers this week that his agency had failed to anticipate the assault. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Our goal is to bat 1,000, and anytime there's an attack, much less an attack as horrific and spectacular as what happened on January 6th, we consider that to be unacceptable.
A Senate report released earlier this month found multiple intelligence and security failures in the lead-up to the attack. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar.
3 intelligence-related units within the Capitol Place knew about social media posts calling for violence at the Capitol, but that the full scope of these warnings never made it to the Capitol Police leadership, rank-and-file officers, or law enforcement partners. There were also conflicting reports on the threats.
While several Senate panels continue work on reforming the U.S. Capitol Police in the wake of the attack, Senate Republicans blocked Democrats' attempt last month to form a wide-ranging commission to investigate the events of January 6. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Now on VOA Asia, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said a planned movie recounting a response to a gunman slaughter of Muslim worshippers in Christchurch in 2019 feels very soon and very raw for New Zealand. Tentative plans for the movie drew criticism there for not focusing on the victims of the attack. The Prime Minister met with reporters.
I agree that there are stories that, you know, at some point should be told from March 15, but they're the stories of our Muslim community. And so they need to be at the centre of that. Now, I don't consider mine to be one of the stories that needs to be told.
The movie would be set in the days after the 2019 attacks in which 51 people were killed at 2 Christchurch mosques. Following Ardern's response to the attacks and how people rallied behind her message of compassion and unity and her successful call to ban the deadliest types of semi-automatic weapons. Facial recognition technology is playing an increasingly important role in helping law enforcement with criminal investigations, according to police. But civil rights activists are raising the alarm about its power and potential abuse of people's privacy. More from VOA's Julie Tabo.
2 years ago, federal agents arrested a man in Nevada suspected of posting images depicting the sexual abuse of a 7-year-old girl. They were able to identify the man by using a single image and matching it with a photo found by Clearview AI, a facial recognition service that contains 3 billion images scraped from the internet. Juan Ton Tat is CEO and co-founder of the company. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
He was in the background of someone else's photo at the gym in the mirror. They were able to identify where the gym was, identify the person.
The company says more than 3,000 U.S. law enforcement agencies employ its software, which uses an advanced algorithm to identify and match faces. But social media firms and civil rights advocates argue that this kind of powerful software potentially infringes on people's privacy. Kate Ruan is senior legislative counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
Even when facial recognition works perfectly, it creates significant concerns with the government being able to surveil us throughout every single aspect of our lives.
The ACLU and other civil rights groups are also concerned about the implications of this kind of technology in the hands of repressive governments. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Thank you for being with us today, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Jim Stevenson, and Amy Heibels. I'm Ira Melman. Enjoy the day ahead and stay safe.